By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته ما شاء الله عز وجل Welcome back to our program Rise and Shine. Alhamdulillah, I hope you had a very beautiful and a mazedar Eid, as they say. You enjoyed your Eid, you enjoyed all the roast chickens and the chawal and the boti and the champa and everything. MashaAllah, that's what Eid was about, wasn't it? To enjoy yourself, to praise Allah Azza wa Jal for all the ni'mas that He's given us. But now today is the third day of Eid, and inshallah Azza wa Jal, you are watching our Rise and Shine program. I've got a guest in the studio with me today, mashallah, Azawajal, Thaqib bhai. How are you, Thaqib bhai? You okay? Jazakallah khairah for taking your precious time out. Mashallah, Azawajal, Thaqib bhai, you must have seen him on Madani channel. He does his own programs as well, mashallah. And he's also our graduate to be, inshallah, very soon this year. He'll be graduating from Jamiatul Madina and he'll become an Islamic scholar, Thaqib Madani, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala make it easier for you. Allah Ta'ala bless you. And inshallah, Azawajal, we're going to be talking about just a normal formal chit chat, as they say, regarding Eid. And because he's from Norway. And we're going to learn how Eid is celebrated in Norway. And just a bit about Eid, and inshallah we'll learn from Thaqib bhai as well. And hopefully, I know that you're going to be watching us until inshallah 11 a.m. UK time. And hopefully, inshallah, Azawajal, we're here not to just entertain you, but inshallah to teach you and also to learn about the beautiful deen ourselves as well. So without any hesitation, let's go towards our beautiful first segment, which is the recitation of the glorious Quran. Whenever you do listen to the Quran, try to listen attentively, because the translation of the Quran is also being recited as well. So it's an opportunity for us to learn. So let's go towards our first Quranic recitation. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon shaitan-e-mardood se.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Allah ke naam se shuru jo nihayat meherban rahm wala.
لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وإن تبدوا ما في أنفسكم أو تخفوه يحاسبكم به الله.
اللہ ہی کا ہے جو کچھ آسمانوں میں ہے اور جو کچھ زمین میں ہے, اور اگر تم ظاہر کرو جو کچھ تمہارے جی میں ہے یا چھپاؤ, اللہ تم سے اس کا حساب لے گا.
فَيَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ.
تو جسے چاہے گا بخشے گا اور جسے چاہے گا سزا دے گا, اور اللہ ہر چیز پر قادر ہے.
آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير.
رسول ایمان لایا اس پر جو اس کے رب کے پاس سے اس پر اترا اور ایمان والے سب نے مانا اللہ اور اس کے فرشتوں اور اس کی کتابوں اور اس کے رسولوں کو یہ کہتے ہوئے کہ ہم اس کے کسی رسول پر ایمان لانے میں فرق نہیں کرتے، اور عرض کی کہ ہم نے سنا اور مانا، تیری معافی ہو اے رب ہمارے اور تیری طرف پھرنا ہے.
لا يكلف الله نفسا الا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت ربنا لا تؤاخذنا ان نسينا او اخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا اصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا انت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين.
اللہ کسی جان پر بوجھ نہیں ڈالتا مگر اس کی طاقت بھر، اس کا فائدہ ہے جو اچھا کمایا اور اس کا نقصان ہے جو برائی کمائی. اے رب ہمارے، ہمیں نہ پکڑ اگر ہم بھولیں یا چوکیں. اے رب ہمارے، اور ہم پر بھاری بوجھ نہ رکھ جیسا تو نے ہم سے اگلوں پر رکھا تھا. اے رب ہمارے، اور ہم پر وہ بوجھ نہ ڈال جس کی ہمیں سہار یعنی طاقت نہ ہو، اور ہمیں معاف فرما دے اور بخش دے، اور ہم پر مہر یعنی رحم کر، تو ہمارا مولا ہے تو کافروں پر ہمیں مدد دے.
صدق اللہ العظیم.
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وآلہ وسلم. ماشاء اللہ عزوجل، the beautiful recitation of the glorious Quran. The Quran is the word of Allah عزوجل. The Quran is the source of guide for us, and the Quran is alhamdulillah azawajal one of the most sacred books, or the sacred book in the world. Many people read the Quran, and alhamdulillah azawajal, if they are ill, Allah ta'ala gives them shifa, because the scholars, they mention, and it's also mentioned in the Quran as well, that the Quran is a source of shifa, source of guidance. But guidance for who? Hudal lil muttaqin, those who are pious. So inshallah azawajal, if we want true guidance, then we need to read the Quran, we need to understand the Quran, we need to follow the Quran. And then also, if you are an adult, you are a parent, then please make sure we need to teach our children the Quran as well. Not just formalities, sending them to the madrasa and they read the Quran, even if they're reading with tajweed or not, and they'll come back home and that's it. No, that should not be the case. We should not read it as a formality. We should read it as something that we need to implement in our lives. You know, it's not a weekend thing or a monthly thing, or when someone passes away in the family, we read the Quran. The Quran should be part of our lives. Have it in your daily schedule. Now, inshallah, Azawajal, we've got the beautiful kalam as well. So let's go and listen to the kalam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Allahu ya Rahman, ya جب پہلی نظر کیا چیز ہے دنیا بھول گیا، یوں ہوش و خرد مفلوج ہوئے، دل ذوقِ تماشا بھول گیا، کعبے پہ پڑی جب پہلی نظر، کیا چیز ہے دنیا بھول گیا، کعبے پہ پڑی جب پہلی نظر، پہنچا جو حرم کی چوکھٹ پر، ایک ابر کرم نے گھیر لیا، پہنچا جو حرم کی چوکھٹ پر، ایک ابر کرم نے گھیر لیا، باقی نہ رہا پھر ہوش مجھے، کیا مانگا کیا کیا بھول گیا، باقی نہ رہا پھر ہوش مجھے، کیا مانگا کیا کیا بھول گیا، کعبے پہ پڑی جب پہلی نظر، کیا چیز ہے دنیا بھول گیا، کعبے پہ پڑی جب پہلی نظر، احساس کے پردے لہرائے، ایماں کی حرارت تیز ہوئی، احساس کے پردے لہرائے، ایماں کی حرارت تیز ہوئی، سجدوں کی تڑپ اللہ اللہ، سر اپنا سودا بھول گیا، سجدوں کی تڑپ اللہ اللہ، سر اپنا سودا بھول گیا، کعبے پہ پڑی جب پہلی نظر، کیا چیز ہے دنیا بھول گیا، کعبے پہ پڑی جب پہلی نظر، جس وقت دعا کو ہاتھ اٹھے، یاد آنا سکا جو سوچا تھا، جس وقت دعا کو ہاتھ اٹھے، یاد آنا سکا جو سوچا تھا، اظہار عقیدت کی دھن میں، اظہار تمنا بھول گیا، اظہار عقیدت کی دھن میں، اظہار تمنا بھول گیا، کعبے پہ پڑی جب پہلی نظر، کیا چیز ہے دنیا بھول گیا، کعبے پہ پڑی جب پہلی نظر، ہر وقت برستی ہے رحمت، کعبے پہ جمیل اللہ اللہ، ہر وقت برستی ہے رحمت، کعبے پہ جمیل جمیل اللہ اللہ خاکی ہوں میں کتنا بھول گیا آسی ہوں میں کتنا بھول گیا خاکی ہوں میں کتنا بھول گیا آسی ہوں میں کتنا بھول گیا
کعبے پہ پڑی جب پہلی نظر
کیا چیز ہے دنیا بھول گیا
کعبے پہ پڑی جب پہلی نظر
اللہ یا
یا کعبے پہ پڑی جب پہلی نظر
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وآلہ وسلم ماشاءاللہ عزوجل, you are listening to the beautiful kalam and our beloved prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, every language he is being praised. And mashallah azawajal, because Allah azawajal is for eternal, he is azali, he is abadi, Allah ta'ala will never die. Therefore, the remembrance and the name of our prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will also never die as well. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, if you've just joined us, then yes, you are watching our Rise and Shine Eid special. We're on our third day today, and alhamdulillah, we've got our special guest today, Thaqib bhai, in the studio. Mashallah, mashallah. Normally, I say, Wagwan, bro, what's happening? But alhamdulillah,
keep your form of the world.
Mashallah, azawajal. So, Thaqib bhai, alhamdulillah, azawajal, is in the studio. Thaqib bhai, jazakallah for taking time out.
Jazakallah for having me here.
No, mashallah, it's a pleasure, alhamdulillah. Now, obviously, you know, your celebration of Eid. You know, in the UK, you've seen that thing. You said you've been here for 10 years, mashallah, Azawajal. And you are planning to go back to Norway, inshallah, to do the Madani work there as well. How do people celebrate Eid in Norway?
How do you think they celebrate?
I think that they go to the masjid, offer their Eid Salah, and they might be going to their relative's house for some munchies.
You forgot the rasmalai at the start.
Oh, the rasmalai, we can't forget that.
In Norway, it's like a tradition that as in any other Muslim family, we start off the day. Obviously, the mothers, they've been awake all night or early in the morning as well, cooking delicacies for, alhamdulillah, us. So when we wake up, we sweeten our mouths before we go to the masjid. Then we go to the masjid and, alhamdulillah, we offer the Salatul Eid. And then we come back and then it's just...
Do you have a lot of relatives in Norway?
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Like people who migrated here and their whole families were here. We migrated to Norway in the 60s and the 70s, so our whole khandan is there.
Right, okay, mashallah. And you said you're from Gujarat, from Pakistan, so there's a lot of people there as well.
Gujarat is famous for as well, don't you? With the people who love eating.
Mashallah.
It doesn't show from me, but alhamdulillah, the other people in my family.
They're happy eaters.
They're happy eaters, yeah.
Mashallah. No, that's brilliant, alhamdulillah. And like, you know, on Eid day, you know, we see, you know, streets here, you know, all hustling and bustling, is that the same thing there as well?
In Norway, the Muslim community is very small in comparison to England. Even the general population in Norway is 5 million. There's more people in London alone. And the Muslim community is very small, but they are very tight and united. So, for example, we have a lot of Moroccan brothers, we have a lot of Somali brothers, we have a lot of Pakistani brothers.
Mashallah.
So you do see you have the feeling and the vibe of that it is something different today, it is Eid today.
MashaAllah. And, you know, like you said, here, like, for example, if you take Bradford, for instance, you know, it's called Bradistan. Right. It's like the mini Pakistan. You know, if you look at it in Birmingham, there's so many Muslim community. Even in London, you know, parts of London where there are especially Muslim community, is that exactly the same in Norway?
In Norway,
as well?
They're a bit scattered around because the area is so big, so people live quite further away from each other. But they do try to make that homely feeling on these special days that people do remember, how especially our elders, because they celebrated most of the Eids in Pakistan.
I've been to Norway a few times, mashallah. I've been to Madani Kafle a few times. You know, we went on a Madani Kafle back in I think it was 2012 and it was December. You know, it was really, really cold. So we for breakfast, we got tinned fish. Yeah. For afternoon, we got fried fish. And in the evening, we got grilled fish. And I thought, is there anything else apart from fish? And they go, you know, the Islami brothers, they were saying that when we came over from Pakistan, and they said that we thought to ourselves, how can people eat fish every day? And because we're into that routine as well. So it's like, you know, in the UK, a lot of people, you know, our food is like fish and chips in it. But alhamdulillah, because we live in an Asian, you know, the restaurants here, I can't remember going to a restaurant in Norway.
The food culture in England is unmatchable. Even in Norway, we have a lot of shops, but they're very limited in terms of the variety of food that they're giving in comparison to England.
You have restaurants there as well.
You have restaurants, but they're not as wide variety as they are in England. Thik,
mashallah. So I think, alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, Eid, wherever it is, mashallah, Azza wa Jal, is celebrated with that zilt, and alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, with that joy, because it's a day where you celebrate, alhamdulillah, you enjoy, because you fasted in the month of Ramadan, you worshipped Allah Azza wa Jal, and it's like a reward from Allah Azza wa Jal.
It's like they say that when a person's been working for somebody for a month or for a week, and then at the end of it, he's given his wage. Mm-hmm. Similarly, the hardships we bear in the month of Ramadan, then Allah Ta'ala has given that as a gift for us. And it's like a life lesson for us as well, that our lives might be full of difficulties, but if we are patient upon it, and if we hold steadfastness to what Allah has promised us, then our death in the hereafter will be like Eid for us.
You know that we mentioned about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his Eid, especially, you know, Hazrat Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the second Khalifa of Islam, that it was the day of Eid and he was locked up in himself in the room and he was crying. He goes that, you know, today it could be Hadha Yawmul Eid wa Hadha Yawmul Wa'id. I don't know which one it is for me. You know, that kind of fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla amongst our greats, you know, pious people. Sayyidina Ghawth-e Pak, rahmatullahi ta'ala, he says, my Eid will be when I leave this world with Iman. You know, so their Madani mentality. Sadly, today we think Eid is about wearing new clothes. Eid is about eating food. Eid is about chilling out with your friends.
That's something that is a problem. Even when we speak to a lot of people who feel like they've had no change in the month of Ramadan, and when you speak to them after like the 10 days, they're already planning on hitting the missions on Eid. Mm-hmm. They're already planning on doing the sins. So it's like they know themselves that they're going to fall back into their old habits. So that sincerity which Ramadan is supposed to teach us, or we're supposed to embed in our hearts, that is missing. And that's why even on the day of Eid, like for example, our mothers who do so much for us, we see them for an hour or two and then we just jump out with the boys. And that's disheartening for the mother as well, because she's fasted the full 30 days as well. Mm-hmm. She's done everything. She's looked after you more than herself. And then we leave them on the day of Eid as well.
You know, I was talking to Islamic brothers yesterday in our program that when it comes to on Eid day, we hire our cars out. Have you ever had your dad or your mom in that hired car? You know, very rarely do you ever see that. Well, I've never seen that anyway. You know, it's always about your friends. It's always about, you know, enjoying Eid with your friends. But
you're talking about cars. I know brothers who spend £1,000 on clothing for themselves. No. Have we ever spent even £50 for clothes on our parents?
No.
When everything we have is from our parents.
Definitely.
Our life, which is the most precious thing to somebody, is from our parents. And on that day of happiness, we forget our parents. That goes to show you that, for example, on the day of happiness, when a person is in a state of comfort, he's forgetting his parents. Then what about in the state of distress? What about a day which is not a good day for him? He'll completely forget his parents then.
You know, I saw a video clip, Saqib Bhai, that there was a crocodile in a swamp, and it was going towards a little baby deer. And the mother deer saw that, now the baby deer was there and the crocodile was swimming towards it. So the mother deer deliberately ran in front of the baby. So the crocodile, you know, took him away.
She sacrificed
herself. Now, you know, you can see that love in the animals. And alhamdulillah, we're humans, you know. Our mothers, like you rightly said, all night they'll be up. You know, I know that, you know, when my mom used to be alive, and used to say, Mom, choro na una, and go to sleep. And she goes, Nahi, I thought I'd come regas wherever. So, and she would do it for us. And when we wake up in the morning, she's already open, you know. And even now we see that, you know, our wives, our daughters, our sisters, they're all up in the morning. And, you know, we're alhamdulillah chilled out, you know. So I think is we need to, it's like a give back time for them as well. And, you know,
like even the scholars, they say that women are better at loving than men. And somebody asked for a daleel from that scholar. He goes, what's your proof for this? He goes, go home and look who your mother is. Your mother is a woman. Because women are better at loving, they will love you unconditionally. Father's love is there, it's apparent, but sometimes a father can have a strict tone towards you. But a mother, regardless of what you've done, she will always be there for you.
MashaAllah. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, you might be thinking, oh my God, my mom and dad live far away. How can I go and visit them? I don't get time off from work. You know, if we cannot get time off from work to go and visit our parents on Eid day, when are you going to go and visit them? I was watching Nigrane Shura's program, and they were selling, some of the Muballighins, they went to a care home, you know, for the old people. And because they were men, and, you know, the fathers that they were there crying, you know, our children have left us and it's the day of Eid today. We've got nowhere to go. And Nigrani Shura goes, this is the father. A father is a bit strict as well. He can handle situations as well. But what about a mother? And he goes, there are care homes just for the mothers. Can you imagine on the day of Eid when the mothers will be there sat alone and the whole family will be enjoying their Eid? It's just heartbreaking sometimes when you see that.
And you think, what goes through the head of people that they actually put their parents in that state? They seem to forget that what we're doing to our parents today is going to happen to us tomorrow as well. And the story, what goes around comes around. And when they realize that it's coming back to them, then it's too late for them to realize. It's too late them for to do anything because their parents have passed away. Like we were in Madani Kafila once, and it was the end of Itikaf, and brothers were very excited to go home. And one brother goes, I'm going to get flowers for my parents. So the brothers were shocked, like people only get chocolates, they get fruits, they get gulab jamun, rasmalai. Are you going to get flowers for your parents? And he goes, I'm going to go visit them in the graveyard.
Allah.
He goes, I don't have a mother waiting for me who's cooked for me. I'm going to go visit her in the graveyard. And this is our mothers. They've done so much for us. They've sacrificed so much for us. And then we can't give anything back to them.
And sometimes you think that if we don't give that tarbiyah to our children, you know, in a young age, they love their parents. But when they get older and older, you know, that's when they start to distance away from their parents. And that's where the tarbiyah has to be done properly.
It's like, you know, there's a problem especially within our Asian culture, that we cannot seem to connect with our children. I don't have any children myself, but when I see some people, it's like the father's out working 12 hours. He comes home. By that time, the children have gone to sleep. The mother, because she has the children with them all day, every day. She gets fed up at times as well. So she doesn't give that care and attention and puts them in front of the TV and consoles for him to take his time and do the things he wants to do. So that lack of relationship between the father and the mother. And then when he gets the same feeling of warmth and closeness from his friends, that attention which he's supposed to be getting from his family, he gets from his friends, then he goes with them.
Obviously, he's going to start to drift away there as well. I met with an Islam brother. I know him really well. He's opened a takeaway and he goes, it's been 2 months. He had his little son with him. So I goes, mashallah. He goes, it's 2 months that I've met him. Allah. And obviously, he goes, he goes to school in the morning. On the weekends, I come really back home late. As soon as I wake up, they might be outside playing during the week. And he goes, it's 2 months that I've just really properly sat down with my son. And I goes to him, how's your takeaway going? He goes, it's going really good. And I goes, how many days do you work? He goes, 7 days a week. Is it really worth it? You know, you're working 7 days a week. You know, you've 2 months later, you've seen your children.
And then when you ask them, they give the excuse that we're doing this for our family. But they need to realize their family does not only just need their money, but it also needs their time as well. Because you could give them money now and then later, when if you've given them no time, then they will themselves will be hesitant. You'll be like a stranger in the old house with them.
You know, if there's any single mothers who are watching this, they'll understand how hard it is to raise a child. You know, with a single mother. You know, with the father figure is something different. But mothers, because they naturally they're weak and they're soft-hearted as well. And you know, a lot of children that I have been teaching in the madrasa system, you know, most of them, you know, they were really, really hard to control. And you know, we used to say complain to the mothers, and they used to say that, look, you know, I'm struggling myself at home. So you know, it's very important that you know, as mothers, they do their bit. But the father figure has to be there at home for the child, or else there's a lot of chances that that child is going to be starting to wander away, and it's going to be really difficult to bring him back.
And like the father is an authority in the house, and he's a role model. Like, for example, when we were growing up, our dad was like our hero for us. Mm-hmm. There's certain habits that we've seen our father do, that the way he treated our mother, the treated he did his wife, the way he used to console the family and everything. And that sticks into your mind. So where you are giving time, you have to see what kind of time are you giving.
Ji.
For example, if you're going to just watch TV with your son, then 2-3 hours are going to pass, but you haven't spoken to him. You haven't interacted with him. You haven't got closer to him in any sense. So that was just the same as if you were outside the house.
You know, one of the common excuses people use is, I'm too busy. I'm too busy. I just can't get time off work. But then when things start to get wrong, and you know, our children, we can see that they're getting distant away from us. I got a call from this brother, and he goes, my son is 14 years old. He doesn't listen to me anymore. I goes, look, when did you ever listen to your son? Mm-hmm. Yeah, now it's payback time, as they say. That, you know, I'm getting older, Dad. You never listen to us. And sometimes when you do talk to children like that, I did talk to him. I goes, Putar, you need to sit down, calm down. You know, your dad said you're not listening to him. And these are the exact words he said. He goes, Hafiz Saab, my father, when has he ever listened to us? You know, so now when he says that we don't listen to him, he's never sat us down. Mm-hmm. We've never talked to us. And, you know, again, it's payback time. He's going to go through all that mental, you know, torture that you've been giving him, he's going to give that to you as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's like when the child is young and the father walks in, mm-hmm. he's so excited, he runs to the door to meet him. Then slowly he's just in his room waiting for his dad to come in, and then he's not bothered if his dad comes home or not.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to teach our children the respect of the parents. Just as the children have respect and rights over the parents have rights over the children as well. So they both need to learn from both sides.
MashaAllah. Because we're talking about Eid days, Akif bhai, what's your favorite dish on Eid?
I like my lamb, my meat. So lamb chops or lamb steaks, anything.
MashaAllah. He's a lambaholic, MashaAllah. Take SubhanAllah. And what about a sweet dish?
I like my traditional sweets. But with a hint of modernism. For example, if you have gulab jamun with ice cream or jalebi with ice cream.
Oh, come on, bro. MashaAllah.
Let's try that.
I went to, I used to do tarawis in Leeds, in Amle. And I used to have a cousin there. What he used to do was he used to make gulab jamun fresh for me every single day without fail. Because the tarawih at that time, we used to finish at about 8 o'clock. Mm. So we used to go around to his house and, you know, he says, you know, give me about half an hour, I'll get them all freshly done. He's prepared everything. All he needs to do is just fry them. And, you know, alhamdulillah, you know, we used to put ice cream and, you know, just reminded me of that. But mashallah, so that viewers who are watching, obviously, you know, we try to do give a touch of tarbiyat as well, you know, for the parents as well, how we need to bring up our children as well. But again, you know, whatever we've talked about, you know, rather than, you know, feeling angry or feeling, what are they talking about? My family is not like that. If your family is not like that, you're living as a family, then mashallah, you're the one of the lucky families around. Because nowadays, Akif bhai, because we've got these smartphones, they made us not so smart. Yeah, everyone's at home with the smartphones. And then even on the day of Eid as well, I talked to this guy and he goes, Mari Eid ta khatam ho jani hai 10 baje. And he goes, what do you do after that? He goes, me and my smartphone. You know, so where's your kids? Or they'll be playing outside. And you know, the other problem is that majority of our relatives, they don't talk to us anymore. Narazgiyan janam. So my Eid, go to the masjid, get Eid, come back home, have some to eat, and then I'm in bed again.
Before it used to be, you'd go meet the brother physically to wish him Eid Mubarak. Now it's just you broadcast an Eid message and you kill all the birds with one stone.
And now you don't have to even go there. You know, so again, it's very important. Eid is a time, you know, I can relate, you know, the ones Mufti Sahib was mentioning regarding, you know, working on Eid day. You know, okay, if you're in a job like, you're an ambulance driver or there's a place where, yeah, if you're a taxi driver or you're a factory worker, they'll give you holidays as well. I'm not just targeting these two, you know, people, but, you know, we need to ask ourselves as well, why can't I not have a day off on the day of Eid? Even if you're not visiting your relatives, sit down with your family. Maybe there's, you know, that's like that brother I mentioned, 2 months he's seen his children. Maybe that could be a time to get everything together.
So sometimes I feel like a lot, especially with men, they have this ego problem or masculine toxicity that they can't be nice to their family or they can't spend quality time with their family because it's considered weak, or then they'll think, oh, he's not the man of the house anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
So what do you say in relation to this, or how can we change this mindset?
I think, to be honest with you, it's just a mindset that people had at the time of Jahiliyyat as well. You know, sometimes like you say, oh, people will talk about me. So what if they talk about you? You know, we had a program with Nigrane Shura and we had some guests in the studio, young lads from the street. And one of the things they said that, you know, if I stay at home, my friends are going to make fun of me. You're a mummy's boy, you know, and you're going to be at home. And the Granny Shura goes, what's wrong with that? You are mummy's boy, aren't you? You are your mom's son. You know, if, when you were young, you know, if I look at my five-year-old, and the attachment that he has with his mom, you know, he will never sleep without his mom. You know, he's always calling out to her, Alhamdulillah, he does love me. I hope he does. Yeah, but Alhamdulillah, that attachment that he has with his mom is, you know, it's understandable. But when these kids grow up, we need to understand that your parents are everything for you. You know, so Alhamdulillah, try to give that quality time to your parents, to your family, to your children, to your grandparents as well. And sometimes, you know, as they say, what goes around comes around. If you are good to your parents, you know, for example, if my parents have passed away, but I do have my uncle, my cha-cha, and my masi, you know, so they classed as my parents. So if I say to my children, oh, forget your grandparents, choro, because they're their grandparents as well from the mother's side. And, you know, I said, choro, but I say to them, no, you need to go to your grandparents' house. Then that's an automatically you're giving them tarbiyat. Our dad used to say, go and visit grandparents, so we need to go and visit them. You know, so mashallah, azawajal, we've got our daily reminder as well. So let's take the daily reminder and then we'll come back, inshallah, azawajal. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
The biggest cancer in our society is backbiting. It is so destructive that not only does it destroy communities, but it tears down nations. The one who backbites against a Muslim has committed a far worse a sin than fornication. Backbiting can cause a faithless end. It brings torment in the grave. Backbiting destroys one's good deeds quicker than fire burns wood. My dear Islamic brothers, on the Day of Judgment, we will have to account for all the words that we have uttered. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated that on the Day of Judgment, a person will have his book of deeds brought to him. He will utter, I did such and such good deeds. What has happened to them? He will be told that these deeds were wiped away due to backbiting that you had committed. Now, most mistakes are because of a slip of the tongue. With the tongue, one risks his hereafter by swearing, lying, backbiting, and tale-telling. Either speak good or remain silent. My dear Islamic brothers, your Dawat Islami is here to enable you to rectify yourself and to overcome the disease of backbiting. It is a humble request that you attach yourself to the environment of Dawat Islami and safeguard your hereafter.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah Azza wa Jal, we are in our Bradford studio. We are celebrating Eid, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal. Eid for us is every day when you look at your parents, because that's what we were discussing as well. Ji Saqib bhai, any memories of Eid? How old are you now?
I'm 22.
22 years old, mashallah. Any, obviously, you have some memories of your Eid when you were a childhood. How much money do you normally get on Eid day? Come on, that's a private one.
I don't think I can reveal that on camera because my brothers start messaging me out. Because sometimes, you know, you're the mummy's favorite, which I am, by the way, then you get the extra.
Are you the youngest in the family?
I'm not the youngest, I'm the second youngest.
Oh, you're the youngest. I'm the babi in the house, so I'm the youngest, mashallah. So I used to get some extra treatment, brilliant, mashallah. What was the best thing that you wanted to buy on Eid? You know, you were craving for it.
When I was small, because I've always been into my cars. So like a remote control car or something, and then you have to pretend like you don't have enough money because you want to buy other presents as well. So
have you ever played Scalectrics?
I think that's before my time.
Was it? You know, scale electrics and...
Or is it that thing which you press the button and then the car goes around the track?
Number 8, track we used to have.
I think that was in my early years and then it finished. Okay. Yeah.
So what's... okay, but now, mashallah, as well, if you celebrate your Eid, how did you celebrate
before
your Eid?
We used to receive money. Now we have to give money. My brother's got...
The tables have turned.
And it feels weird because a couple of years back, we were going around asking for money and we felt rich. And now at the end of the Eid, we feel poor.
MashaAllah. I was talking to my young uns and because I'm going to Ireland today after Eid. They were saying to me, who's going to give our Eid money? Don't worry, I'll leave them in advance for you. Don't worry about that. But you know, children, they love that, don't they? Their Eid money. And I was watching an ad. They don't take money nowadays. It's all card in it. They got a card machine and they swipe it. Right, thank you, Dad. I've got my Eid money. But Alhamdulillah, it's a happy time. Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, Eid. Any stories about the Sahaba Ikram or any Awliya Ikram that you can tell us? Or... any stories that you can tell us that you remember of your Eid?
And one story which does come to mind is there was a Buzurg and it was the day of Eid. And when they were walking, they seen a child and he was on his own and he did not have the best of clothes on Eid or he did not look like he was in the best of state. So they went up to him and they said, what is the matter with you? And he said, when I'm looking around, I'm seeing that the parents, they're treating the children with so much love and so much care. They've got these nice clothes on them. They've got these perfumes on them. They've got these gifts on them. And me, I have nobody. I have nothing. So that Buzurg felt sympathy for that child in their heart. And they said, you're spending your Eid with me today. So they took him first to the bazaar. They got him nice clothes and they got him gifts and they got him a perfume. And he felt like he was loved as well. So one thing we need to remember is that not everyone's state is like ours on the day of Eid as well. Yeah. Where we are happy, where Allah Ta'ala has bestowed us with a lot of ni'mas, where we are grateful for them. We should also keep an eye upon the people who are around us, especially our neighbors, to see what is their state. Imagine you're in your home celebrating Eid with your family, with your children, and next door is an old mother who doesn't have any children or her children are away. So it's upon you, it's your right that you make her feel happy on the day of Eid as well. So this is something that we need to keep in our mind.
You know, another very important thing is that, maybe it's like you mentioned, some people are not privileged to have that money to buy new clothes. That waqia comes into mind of Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi ta'ala, where his daughters, they came up to him and they said, Dad, we need to buy some new clothes, mafhum. And he goes to the finance minister and he goes, can you give me my wage one month in advance? And we're not talking about a laborer, we're talking about the king of the Muslims. And the finance minister, he says, Hazrat, if you can guarantee me that you're going to be alive for the next month, I'll give you your wage in advance. And he goes, no, I can't guarantee that. And then he goes, then I can't give you the money. You know, so Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi, goes home and says to his daughters, the clothes that need washing, wash them and wear them on the day of Eid. I will not be able to buy you new clothes. Mm-hmm. And there'll be many, many parents like that as well. And one of the incidents was that, whenever you see a yatim, an orphan, don't call your children out because there might be an orphan there and he's going to miss his father and he might feel that as well.
We know that, alhamdulillah, we have a lot of neighbors, we dress well. But that shouldn't be a reason for us to look down upon somebody else. Because sometimes what happens is that brother, he may not have the best of things, but he is trying to have a happy Eid. He's trying to wear nice clothes. And if you break his heart, then what benefit has Ramadan or the day of Eid brought to you?
You know, if you look at it, Saqib bhai, there's been so many atrocities around the world. There have been so many children who've become orphans. There's some children have even lost their mother and their father, And they've even, I read a story the other day, very, very heartbroken, And, I just couldn't control myself as well that, there are people, sometimes we forget the true reality. As they say, we're in our little box, in our little world. We don't even understand what is happening to the wider world, the people out there. There was a war, and in that war, their house was bombed. His mother passed away, his father passed away. Brothers and sisters were just left alone. And obviously, they were taken in by a family, and they were all split up as well. And you think to yourself, what kind of a life will that child grow up to? Not having any parents, being split up with their brothers and sisters. And when sometimes, I read a story of exactly the same situation where, they were adopted by different parents. And after 30 years, the brother and sister got together again. Allah. You know, so it's really, really heartbreaking. And sometimes all we bother and worry about is, you know, I didn't get enough money for Eid. I didn't get what I wanted for Eid. I didn't want this clothing. I want that. Look, just look at other people around the world. You know, we've got, you know, examples in Pakistan, in Palestine. We've got examples in Kashmir, you know, where people are orphans. Even in the UK, you know, the Syrian refugees. You know, it's heartbreaking when you listen to
that. Yeah, I was like speaking to our brother, and he says that we complain so much about our lives. But if we were to think to ourselves that Allah Ta'ala has given us a roof over our head, Allah Ta'ala has given us clothes, Allah Ta'ala has given us food, Allah Ta'ala has given us the ability to celebrate Eid in peace. He was saying that if you were to go to a poor person or a person who's been affected and you were to ask him to describe his dream life to you, what he wants in his life, anything he wants in his life, his description will be less than what you are living right now. Meaning the life Allah Ta'ala has given you right now is greater, it's bigger than people's dreams, and we are ungrateful for it. And one of the reasons that we are ungrateful is because we don't enjoy the moment. For example, if somebody's walking and he sees a guy with a nice car, he'll want to be in that car, but he'll forget the enjoyment of walking. He'll forget these people who don't have feet. Mm-hmm. Once he gets in that car, he'll see somebody with a nicer car, and he won't be able to enjoy the car he's in right now. And this happens on Eid as well.
There's no stopping, is there, with that kind of thought?
Absolutely. Even with children, they'll have a gift, but because they'll see somebody else who got a better gift, they'll stop playing with their own gift. This is something which is common within the children. Mm. So we need to be grateful and enjoy the blessings which we have now before they're taken away from us.
Beshak. And you know, like we see that, you know, every day, you know, we see the news and we see these people. It's really heartbreaking. There's a lesson for us. Remember, as Muslims, you know, we will have to be answerable to every blessing that Allah Ta'ala has given us, even though we'll never be able to repay or count the blessing. Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran Himself, but there is a verse in the Surah At-Takathur, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَ إِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. And then you will be asked about the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal. We'll be asked about them, all this, you know, the new clothes, the family that we have, the cars, the homes we have. We're going to be asked about them, and we need to prepare for that as well. We have our daily hadith as well. So let's go towards our daily hadith today, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, we all know that if a person commits a sin, a black spot is placed on his heart. Now let's listen to a hadith relating to this. A hadith states, when a person commits a sin, a black spot is marked on his heart. If he commits another sin, another black spot is marked on his heart. And this carries on until his whole heart becomes black. Then advice has no effect on his heart. It's obvious. If someone's heart is rusty and black, then how can words of advice affect him? It becomes extremely difficult for such a person to avoid sins in the holy and blessed month of Ramadan, as well as in other months. Finds it hard to perform good deeds. If somehow he does manage to occupy himself in acts of piety, he does not enjoy himself in being in such places. His nafs makes him have long hopes and makes him heedless and eventually disassociates him from the Madani environment. The viewers of Madani Channel, may Allah Azza wa Jal save us from wasting time and especially the sacred time of Ramadan. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi al-Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah Azza wa Jal, daily hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you just joined us, then yes, you are watching our Rise and Shine program. Alhamdulillah, we've got Saqib bhai in the studio, MashaAllah Azza wa Jal. So we're talking about anything and everything. So Saqib bhai, any other thing that would relate to Eid that you want to tell?
I think one beautiful thing about Eid is that every different part of the country or the world has a different way of celebrating Eid. For example, we think our Eid is not complete without eating gulab jamuns and rasmalai. Yeah. There's somebody in the other side of the world probably thinking, if I don't have this, then my Eid is not complete, and there's somebody else. But the beauty of our deen is that besides all of our cultural differences, the main maqsad, the main essence of Eid is found within all of us.
MashaAllah.
And that is to thank Allah Ta'ala and enjoy that ni'mat that He has given us.
SubhanAllah.
Even if you look at our local masjid, we go there and we'll see black brothers, we'll see white brothers, we'll see Asian brothers, we'll see African brothers, brothers from all descents. But on the day of Eid, they're all hugging each other.
MashaAllah.
If this does not end racism, that on one basis, on one mission, on one foundation, everybody is together, then I don't think anything
SubhanAllah. Can. You know, sometimes people say that, how can you eradicate racism? Then the last Hajjatul Wada, where the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that a black man is not superior to a white man, and a white man is not superior to a black man. You know, you are all brothers.
Taqwa, yeah. Except in piety. Yeah. Whoever is more pious for me is better.
MashaAllah. And this is what our beautiful deen teaches us, Alhamdulillah. And that's why in Islam, you know, you'll see, like you mentioned, in one masjid, you'll have many people from different communities. And you know, even in fasting as well, you know, mashallah, you'll have their people, you know, they all have their own. We went to an Indian masjid, mashallah, Sunni Indian masjid, and they were having dal and chawal. And their dal and chawal, I thought, my God, I've never eaten this beautiful. Because it's their traditional dish. You know, they had, you know, gajran. And oh my God, what's coming in my mouth?
Carrots,
what they do is they chop them up, and it's like, you know, a pickled carrots. And they were like, they cook them themselves. But oh, Saqib bhai, if you were there, man, pura traina kayura la sa. But it was good, Alhamdulillah. And you know, on any day, we sometimes think dal chawal, amazing, subhanAllah. So, you know, different cultures, different types of foods, and different ways that people celebrate Eid.
Well, I think on Eid, everybody likes to eat their own traditional food.
No, definitely.
That, for example, our Eid is not complete without biryani.
Definitely.
That lamb biryani as well.
Lamb biryani, yeah, I love it, man, as well. We went to, I'm doing one of my Eids. I did Eid in Ireland, didn't it? And there again, people have different cultures. Different traditions, but that's what the beauty of Islam is. You know, Alhamdulillah, wherever you go, you'll have different people. You know, even British people, you know, they eat fish and chips, and they'll eat gravy and all that. Well, I've never had gravy in my life, but because, mashallah, the British Muslims, then if you go to other countries, you know, African, they'll have their own traditional dishes as well.
Look at the beauty of Islam that, for example, even if in iftar in Ramadan, we've seen this, and even on the day of Eid, that even if a stranger walks into a masjid, no one knows his name, no one has seen him, they might not even speak the same language, yet the brotherhood and the love he feels is something which is not found anywhere else.
We went to Portugal, Lisbon, and we went to the capital, which is Lisbon, and massive masjid, and we could see, you know, Islamic brothers stood outside, and they were like, Assalamu alaikum, please come and do iftari with us. And you think, subhanAllah, you know. And we were like going to someone's house, and we said that, no, we're going, please, brother, come and sit with us. We were in Medina Park as well. And, you know, you'll have children coming up to you, you know, to iftari, come and do with us. And different time, you know, mashallah, African, Chinese, everyone, mashallah. And they'll have their dastar khan and
to,
people
to think
doing
about,
iftari.
We live in an era where people are so money motivated, get rich or die trying, and people are so stingy there with their money that, like we were speaking, people don't spend it on their parents at times. But within the beauty of Islam is that people wholeheartedly spend on each other, Alhamdulillah.
And you know, Muslims generally, you know, because it's zakat and fitrana, Muslims generally around the world, Alhamdulillah, do give a lot of money in the way of Allah. And especially, you know, without any bias, Pakistani Muslims, they give a lot of money as well. You know, I went to Pakistan, you know, like we had the flood, we have the earthquakes. You know, there's so many natural disasters that happen, and there are so many organizations and charities that are working in Pakistan. I don't see that many charities working elsewhere in other countries as well. And especially with the pandemic that we had, you know, Alhamdulillah, all these charities, you know, they came into motion. And, you know, mashallah, Dawat Islami, where we held the patients for thalassemia. You know, all these, Alhamdulillah, as well. So again, this is the beauty of Islam, that we're all one. You know, and in Islam, I can remember a waqia at the time of Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab, radiallahu ta'ala, where this king accepted Islam. And he was doing tawaf of the Kaaba, and a Bedouin, by mistake, you know, trodden on his clothing. And the king turned around and slapped him. And the Bedouin went to Hazrat Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he complained that he's hit me. And Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, after the inquiry, he said, you can take revenge. Allah. And that king, he says, give me a couple of days. And Hazrat Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to him, okay, I'll see you tomorrow. That same night, he ran away. And Hazrat Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when that king turned around and goes, you want this person, a Bedouin, this poor person, to take revenge, and I'm a king. He goes, no one is a king. In Islam, you are all brothers. You know, alhamdulillah, this is the equality that Islam gives us.
This is the true like message of Islam, which a lot of people fail to understand, because they obviously, we live in an era of social media. People are very open to taking knowledge from everybody. And not everybody is rightfully the owner to give knowledge. He's not qualified for it as well. So that's something that we need to take care of as well. But like you said, the brotherhood in Islam, it matches no other religion, alhamdulillah. Like this, the story of the companions, they were in battle. And when the water was brought to him, he heard another companion say, Al-Atash, I'm thirsty. So the water was taken to him, and it was taken to him. The third companion called out, Al-Atash, thirst. So when it was taken to him, the other two passed away by then. Allah. So they sacrificed their life for the Muslim brothers, and we cannot even do the slightest of sacrifice.
You know, and exactly, you know, this is what Eid teaches us. You know, why we pay fitrana is alhamdulillah, so that we can help our Muslim fellow brothers and sisters that are struggling. And that is why fitrana is wajib. I had an Islamic brother, he's had a little baby boy. I go, chalo, 5 pound fitrana aur wadi gaya sada. Yeah, so you got to pay fitrana for that as well. But alhamdulillah, my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, you are watching Rise and Shine, and we want to get in Ghulam Rasool as well. You know, I always get Ghulam Rasool in our program because we do have kids watching this as well. So let's see, inshallah, what Ghulam Rasool has to offer us today as well, inshallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Wow, Brother Bablu, mashallah. After eating popcorns, you have become strong.
Yes, you're right. Look at this.
But Brother Bablu has no power or strength at all.
So should we have a competition then?
Yes, go on then.
Brother Noman, hold my popcorn for a second.
Dear Brother Bablu, now show me your hand. Go on, try to free your hand now.
What's happening here? Brother Noman? Brother Ghulam Rasool, Brother Bablu and Brother Fizan were competing each other to see who is more powerful. And Brother Fizan let go of Brother Bablu's hand. And he fell down.
Brother Fizan, that's not very nice, is it? You harmed a Muslim brother of yours. The summary of a beautiful hadith is that a Muslim is he from whose tongue and hand another Muslim stays safe.
Brother Ghulam Rasool, from now on, inshallah, I will not harm anyone.
And Brother Bablu, even if we do have power, then it is not necessary for us to let everyone know that we are powerful.
Brother Ghulam Rasool, it was my mistake as well. I will avoid doing so in future.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah Azza wa Jal, welcome back. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we are in our Bradford studio for the third day of Eid, mashallah. We do have Saqib bhai in the studio as well, mashallah. Saqib bhai is new to Madani channel. So let's get some information out of him, see who he is, mashallah. Saqib bhai, which year are you in Jamiatul Madina?
I'm in my last year now, alhamdulillah.
So you're going to be graduating this year. How was your journey in the Jamia? Maybe there's someone watching there and they want to be an alim as well.
I finished high school in 2015. And that was the year I started.
Do you live in Bradford?
No, I'm from a different town. So I was there and I did my high school there. And because at that time, there were only two big Jamiats, the one in Bradford and the one in Birmingham. And they were the residential ones. So then we decided to come to Bradford because we had met the teachers here and it's closer to home. So
you did Hijrat in it because it was for the sake of Deen, mashallah.
And then we came here and alhamdulillah. You know, you hear about the benefits and the blessings of knowledge. But until you become a student, you don't fully feel the effect of those. And when you become a student of knowledge and then you see the blessings around you, you see people respecting, you see people honoring you. And that really humbles you because we're from a society where We don't even look at another person. We don't even respect another person. But because of that knowledge which you have, because of the knowledge with the student, Allah Ta'ala grants, elevates his ranks. And then you hear of the fadail of knowledge, subhanAllah, that the fish in the ocean, they pray for you. The birds in the sky, they pray for you. Angels lower their wings for a student of knowledge, subhanAllah. And then these are the things that keep you motivated and they keep you going in your darsan nizami. And then later when you get a bit older, because at that time I was about 15, 16, so you still have that boyish attitude inside you. You see your boys doing other things. So sometimes you do feel like, you know what, maybe I'm not on the right path. Maybe I need to be out there chilling with them. Maybe I'm wasting my time. But then when your teachers explain it to you, you see the, your murshid's vision, your peer sahib's vision, whose birthday was not so long ago as well. And that puts into perspective that our maqsid or our purpose on this earth is greater than to chill. It's to greater than to waste our time. We have limited time on this earth. So like that, then you start studying and then you start going onto the big books and you're able to read Arabic and then you feel cool that you can read Arabic now as well. Alhamdulillah, so you've learned a new skill along the way. And then
You can confidently read Arabic and understand it. So if I bring you a newspaper, you'll be able to read it and understand it as well.
You can test me on TV now. Oh, alhamdulillah. The more effort you put in, the better scholar you become as well. Definitely. And if you're dedicating 5, 6, 7 years of your life, then you want to do it properly as well. Because once you leave, then an alim, a scholar, which I don't consider myself, but those who will graduate with me, the ulama which graduate with me, they'll have a great burden upon their shoulders, which will they need to take.
And you know, another thing is that, you know, when you do become a scholar, that's, you know, the point where your real studies will start, because now you need to be reading books and understanding a lot of things as well. It's all about reading and understanding.
Absolutely, because now we have the supervision of our teachers directly, firsthand. We study with them. We spend a lot of time with them. So if there's any issues, we can go to them. But after then, you have to start thinking with your own mind. And you have to start contemplating and trying to figure things out. That's where the real test starts.
MashaAllah. But is there any part of your life during this Jamiatul Madina? I'm in first year as well.
So I'm your senior.
You're my senior, MashaAllah. And, you know, to be honest with you, because of the zimmedaris, I sometimes, you know, feel, you know, like, is it going to be, you know, hard for me or not? But I'm not going to give up, inshallah. Sure. I'm going to try to, if I can't walk, I'll start crawling. But I'm not going to stop. But, you know, have there been thoughts like that in your
mind? Absolutely, absolutely. They say with the normal person, there's one shaitan. With the young man, there's 17. And with the student of knowledge, there's over 90. Allah. So you're more likely to be tricked by the shaitan, those whispers entering into your heart. Because they say if there is 100 abids, 100 people who worship Allah Ta'ala, and their worship is such that they fast during the day and they stand at night to pray, and one alim, he is greater than them 100 abids. And they say that the ink of a scholar will be weighed with the blood of a martyr on the day of judgment, and his ink, the weight of his ink will be heavier. Mm-hmm. So when you look at the status of a scholar, when you look at the status granted to the scholar, not only in this world, but the hereafter, then that motivates you. Instead that on the day of judgment, a scholar will be stopped from entering paradise. And he will think to himself that, Ya Allah, I spent my life studying, I spent my life teaching, and today I don't get the privilege of entering paradise. And Allah will say that, it's not fair for you to enter paradise on your own, but rather take everyone who is associated with you.
Sure.
So like these people will come to him and they'll remind him of little favors that I gave water to you, Sheikh. I gave this to you, and they will take him to
me. MashaAllah. You know, so alhamdulillah, so all those Islamic brothers and Islamic sisters who are watching this program, and you've been giving your donations to Dawat Islami, because most of our donations at this moment in time are being spent in Jamiatul Madina, in Madrasatul Madina, and in the welfare of Dawat Islami's work. Now just imagine all these students that you've been sponsoring, all these ulama, huffaz that you've been sponsoring. Just imagine this is sadaqah jariyah for them as well. And alhamdulillah, as well, even now, you know, it's not that because Ramadan is over, Eid is over now, we don't have to give. Donations have to be given every single day. Just to give you a rough estimate, Dawat Islami needs £2 million every day to survive, you know, with the Madani works that we're doing. £2 million every day. And especially in the UK as well, where even here, a lot of people sometimes they get amazed that you don't charge for that. You know, alhamdulillah, we give accommodation, we give food. And, you know, mashallah, as well, if a normal student goes to a university, and annually he'll spend £9,000 on his fees. That's what the average is. And then he needs an accommodation, he needs food, the traveling. And there was a survey, and in that they said that minimum An average student will come out of university with £40,000 debt on his heart. And Jamiatul Madinah, alhamdulillah, everything is fee sabilillah. We do, you know, request this, the students to donate something, whatever, but we never say to them, why have you donated that much? So again, alhamdulillah, you're learning the sacred knowledge of deen, and alhamdulillah, you're getting the reward as well. So I would request my viewers that please donate towards Dawat Islami. Set up a direct debit. We've got a campaign running at this moment in time. It started in Ramadan, and that campaign is £1 a day. You can't even get an ice cream for a pound. I went to an ice cream guy the other day, and I goes, can I have an ice cream, please? Because in our days, yeah, when I used to be younger, I'm young, yeah. But, you know, we used to buy an ice cream for 50 pence, you know, 40 pence. And the guy goes, 150, please. And I go, you what? 150 for an ice cream. And I thought, you know, so why can't be? And I love ice cream as well. And, you know, £1.50 every day if I eat ice cream. Yeah, £1 a day in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla, sponsoring this huge organization. You know, so many Madani works that Dawat Islami religious work is doing. You know, just imagine all the reward that you save, you know.
The treasures of Allah Ta'ala are limitless. We cannot limit them. And it's like he said that when a drop comes into the ocean, it's no longer a drop, it becomes an ocean. So when we feel like, oh, it's only a pound, what's my pound going to do? Don't think of it as a pound. Think of it as your contribution towards the deen. Say, for example, the reward and the sadqa jariyah, it is something that we cannot comprehend in our minds. Let me give you an example. Say, for example, you donate your money and that helps one student of knowledge learn one ayat of the Quran. Just one ayat of the Quran. And then he teaches that ayat to somebody else. And he teaches that to somebody else. And like this, this system or this circle carries on to the Day of Judgment. We don't know how many people are going to learn that ayat of the Quran. We don't know how many people are going to come. You will yourself will die. And when you wake up on the Day of Judgment and you see this massive reward of Quran ayats behind you, you'll say, Ya Allah, I never did any of this. I never recited so much. And that's when your sadqa jariyah will come in to help.
MashaAllah. I was watching Mufti Sahib on the telethon last year. And Mufti Sahib said that, you know, we were passing through this town and we stopped at a restaurant, you know, Pakistani restaurants. He goes, we sat in there. And I saw this young boy going to the tables and serving people. And I thought, you know, he's such a young guy. You know, maybe he's not even studying. So he calls that young boy. And he's about 10, 11 years old. So Mufti Sahib said, I asked him that, Putar, are you studying anywhere? And he goes, we're so poor, my dad can't afford. And he goes, where's your father? He goes, there's my father. And his dad was working in the same restaurant. So Mufti Sahib goes, I called his dad and I said, give your son to me. You know, that I will sponsor him. Inshallah, I will give him the money. Whatever he's earning, I'll give you that much money as well. But I want to make him an alim. Yeah. And Mufti Sahib said that, you know, I said to his dad, how much money do you need, you know, for school, for education in Jamiatul Madinah? So they found a close by Jamiatul Madinah. So he's been sending him money. So, you know, and as time passed by, and Mufti Sahib goes that, you know, this is about roughly about 13, 14 years later. He goes, I passed by and my jadwal was in that town, that same Jamiatul Madinah. And because Mufti Sahib was now in charge of Jamiatul Madinah. So he goes, I went to that Jamiatul Madinah and all the teachers, when I walked in, we had a teachers meeting. And he goes, one of the teachers, when he looked at me and he goes, Mufti Sahib, do you recognize me? And he goes, no. He goes, do you remember that little boy that worked in the restaurant? That was me. Allah. And now he's, mashallah, the Nazim of that Jamiatul Madinah. Now, can you imagine? Mufti Sahib goes, you know, I just started crying, you know, out of happiness. That, alhamdulillah. And he goes, Mufti Sahib, because of your consideration and your muhabbat that you gave all them years, yeah, I've become a scholar. Alhamdulillah, I've got married as well. And I teach in the Jamia. I am supporting my family as well. So when it comes to Jamiatul Madinah, Madrasatul Madinah, or anything like that, it's not just, you know, education of a student. You know, it's like even after that, you know, the upbringing as well. And even the job opportunities that Dawat Islami has. You know, we've got, mashallah, a few Madani Islami brothers. They were in my class when I joined Jamiatul Madinah 7 years ago. You know, and they were in my class and they've now graduated. Yeah. But mashallah as well, they studied and alhamdulillah, they're now Madanis and they're working for Dawat Islami.
Hafiz, we need to look at it this way, that those people who disobey Allah Ta'ala, who do not follow the commandments, Allah Ta'ala still feeds them. Allah Ta'ala still gives them rizq. So why does this thought come into our head that if I start obeying Allah Ta'ala, if I start fulfilling the commandments he's told us to do, then he'll stop my risk. I won't get risk. No. This is alhamdulillah, something that I've never had to worry about in my Jamia life. Because Dawat Islam has done a big favor upon us. Like he said, everything is free. So as a student, that's a big relief upon our shoulders that I don't have to worry. I don't have to stress my parents, and my parents don't have to worry. So it's not just the student that's stress-free. It's the parents that are stress-free. It's the khandan, it's the family that's stress-free as well.
And you know, the thing is, it's like, you know, when we talk about the fees, the university fees, and then that worry, you know, how is my son going to be in university? Is he going to mix in with the wrong crowd? To be honest with you, my son, mashallah, there is a hafiz as well, and he's going to college now. It stresses me out, you know, because alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala makes him successful. He wants to be a doctor. You know, I said that, look, inshallah, I'm behind you. You know, what I wanted you to become a hafiz, you've done that for me. Now I'm going to support you all the way as well. But his mindset is that, you know, inshallah, when I graduate from there, I'm going to start to do Jamia online, you know, parallel to what I'm studying. So inshallah, you know, and I wanted to prove this as well. You know, like some people, they say it's either this or that. You know, no, alhamdulillah, as well, there's been so many students, mashallah, they've graduated, they've got degrees as
even
well.
Even look at some of our teachers, they're qualified. One of our teachers qualified in maths, he's a mathematician. One of our teachers is a doctor, but he's doing the work of deen. You know, there's the misconception of Islam that Islam stops you from having a good life, or Islam stops you from being rich, or Islam stops you from doing business. If you look at the life of the companions, some of them were businessmen. And Ghani radiallahu, Ghani is in his name, generous. How does a person become generous if he's got something to give? You know, at the time when Islam was newly started, a lot of the people, they would look at the companion and they'd say, what's the issue with Muslims? That whoever becomes a Muslim becomes rich. Because the Muslims were so bestowed. So a lot of people initially accepted Islam because they would see the Muslims being rich. And they wanted that wealth. And when they became Muslim, they found out the true meaning of Islam. So earning money in a halal way is one of the biggest ibadahs a person can do. Mm-hmm. Earning halal risk, earning money, nothing wrong. Earning halal risk, nothing wrong. Being rich, nothing wrong. Buying extravagant cars, big houses, nothing wrong with it. Because the matter of sincerity is with the heart. Like the Prophet ﷺ was giving a bayan, he was advising the companions about takabbur. And one sahabi got up and he said, Ya Rasulullah, is it takabbur if I wear nice clothes, if I wear beautiful clothes? And the Prophet ﷺ said, Allahu jameelun wa yuhibbul jamal. That Allah Ta'ala is beautiful and He loves beauty. And the matter of takabbur is with the heart. So as long as what you are doing or how you are enjoying your life, it's not making you arrogant. It's not making you look down on other people. There's nothing wrong with it.
You know, very famous incident about Sayyidina Mahmud Ghaznavi, rahmatullah alayhi. He visits Medina and he's got his lavish clothing on, the king, you know, his king clothes. And then he sees another king and he says, and he was wearing rags. And he goes, why are you wearing rags for? You're a king. And he goes, no one is a king in this bargah. You know, so therefore I've humbled myself, you know, because I'm nothing. It's the sadaqah of the Prophet ﷺ. And he goes, but why are you wearing your attire? You know, you're in the court of the Prophet ﷺ. And he goes, I've come to say that Ya Rasulullah, is because of your nazar that I am in this state. So again, like you said, it all depends on what the intention
everyone has
is.
Different ways of expressing love or expressing shukr. There's some people, they want to give a lot, and that's their shukr. And some people, they keep it in this, and that's
Subhanallah. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, we've got a little promo for you to see. So let's have the promo, inshallah, and then we'll wind up our program, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
There are many ways to earn the pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and reward from His court. Let me share with you an idea where you can earn huge amounts of reward. Yes. All you have to do is to support what you're watching right now. Yes, Madani channel. Imagine your donation will be used to raise the name of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. In order to mention the praise of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, to mention the hamd of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala and to say the naat of Mustafa, to explain the tafsir of Quran and sharaf hadith, to distribute the knowledge and wisdom to the world. You can imagine a great cause and its reward waiting for you in the court of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. You can set up a standing order onto these details and support your beloved Madani channel.
Dawat Islami UK Madani Channel, Sort Code 309773, Account Number 4363450, IBAN GB67LOYD 309773436 34 BIC LOYD GB 21087.
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. We're in the last few seconds of our program. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal. We're just going to be winding up the program. I hope you enjoyed our special Eid transmission. We had the first day, second day, and the third day. Like Saqib Bhai said, Deen does not stop you from having fun. Deen does not stop you from living a luxury life. But Alhamdulillah, it all depends on the intention. So I hope, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, you not only enjoyed these three special programs that we had for Eid, but inshallah, you'll continue to watch them and also continue to learn and enjoy them as well. Jazakallah khairah, Saqib Bhai, for coming today, mashallah. Yes. You'll be in Saqib Bhai, he'll have his own programs as well. So please make sure that you watch his programs as well, after my programs, obviously. Gee. But mashallah, that brings us to the end of our program. Please take care of yourselves and keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.